Do you think the public will ever really know on a wide scale, in normal households, that people will really know what this money was used for and what the CIA is doing?
No, I don't think so. I think it would damage too many people in Washington, D.C. They just can't afford to have that kind of information. Now, you find a lot of it coming back to their own campaign coffers. So I really don't think, unless there's, people march on Washington, I don't think it's going to happen.
The House Intelligence Committee investigated the connection between the CIA and organized crime and the SNLs, and I understand that Daniel Childs, the former comptroller of the CIA, became the staff director of that same committee just before the investigation. How is the CIA able to place people like Childs in these positions?
Well, the House Intelligence Committee is basically the lapdog of the CIA, and has been since the Church, in hearings back in the middle 70s. And the CIA basically can control the flow of information to them. And I like to say, if it had been up to the House Intelligence Committee, the American public would have never known about Iran-Contra, because Oliver North et al. Went up before that committee, and lied to him with impunity, and no one on the committee said or did anything to try to get to the truth. And they did basically the same thing on the CIA investigation. I had began calling the CIA for comment in the late fall of 1989 on my stories. And I had assumed that they were going to run in 1989. They were delayed by basically the Houston Post law firm, that I think we'll talk about in a little bit. But the CIA knew that I was working on these stories and were going to run them by the fall of 1989. In January 1990, Daniel Childs comes over as being the chief financial officer of the CIA, who testified before the Iran-Contra Committee, who was very close to William Casey, comes over to head the staff of the House Intelligence Committee. He'd also worked on the Senate Intelligence Committee back during the Church Committee investigation days in the middle 70s. 1 month later, 6 weeks later, after he comes to the committee, my stories come out, and the investigation begins. He's basically in charge of it, although he tries to keep a low profile and stay out of the limelight. He's got three or four attorneys up there that supposedly are doing an investigation. One of them admitted to me they've never done an investigation like that before. That what they were involved in was, budgetary matters regarding the CIA's budget. Never done an investigation like that before. And Childs can basically manipulate them. They come out and whitewash the whole thing based on, of course, what the CIA tells them. They never did track any of the money. They didn't interview any of the people that I named, I don't believe. I went up there and talked to them, and they just sat there and grimaced at me. Just frowned at me the whole time I was talking to him and telling him who to call and, what to look for. They never tracked any money, which was the main thing. Then they come out and say, there's no evidence for any CIA involvement, particularly in connection with any fraud. And even though the CIA says they have these connections to these institutions, individuals, they say it was all on the up and up. And therefore, we shouldn't have a full-blown investigation. All right, they come out with that in the winter of 1990, after my stories had been running all year long. 2 months later, after they finished their investigation, Dan Childs quits the committee, goes back to the CIA as a special assistant to the CIA director. So he's only there for this investigation. I mean, it looks to me like he was specifically brought in for damage control on on the SNL investigation?
I believe you've investigated that this is an unusual situation where the CIA comes in and infiltrates. I believe you mentioned in your book that a similar thing happened with the Iran-Contra situation.
Yes, well, I've basically got that information from you, Dennis. Tom Polgar was brought in as one of the chief investigators for Iran-Contra Committee, and Polgar, of course, was, I believe, a 25-year CIA veteran and headed stations all over the world for the CIA. And he was brought in and basically said going in that there was no CIA involvement in Iran-Contra. And, of course, we found out now that, it was basically a CIA operation, and Oliver North was working for the CIA and serving as their cutout and front man. Also, it's interesting to note that Polgar is a member or director, advisory director of a company outside of Washington, D.C. called Parvis. And Parvis does international intelligence operations for big businesses and international companies. Another advisory director is Richard Helms, former CIA director. I think the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency is on this director of this company. And the director that really sticks out like a sore thumb and has no obvious intelligence connections is an attorney for a Houston law firm. The man's name is Theodore Dimitri. He's with Vinson and Elkins, which is one of Walter Mischer's big law firms.
You know, it's interesting when you think about Tom Polgar, and we sort of wonder why he would get the job for the Iran-Contra Committee to investigate CIA dirty tricks. You mentioned that the CIA was involved. Well, there were three station chiefs. There was the Central American Task Force chief. There was the director of the CIA. There was the deputy director of the CIA. And we could go on a long time.
There's several more.
We could go on for a very long time about it. I mean, it was a CIA operation without a doubt. And one wonders why Polgar could get that job. I called up Senator Rudman to ask him, why did you pick Tom Polgar? And the response that I got was, well, he has the experience.
You're covering up things, I guess.
I don't know if we're going to use this in the interview, but when Tom Polgar, I did track Tom Polgar's visit to Costa Rica. As you know, there was a man by the name of John Hall, who was the CIA director there. And, who was the CIA conduit for the Costa Rican branch of the Contras, the jumping off point. And I attempted to find out what Hall was doing in Costa Rica. And when I found out, what Polgar was doing in Costa Rica, and what I found out was that he was interviewing reporters to find out what they knew, and he never interviewed John Hall.
Well, he probably already knew what John Hall was. John Hall, John Hall, by the way, shows up in Houston. You know, he met with Oliver North several times in Houston dealing with the Contras, and he would go out to a nightclub and restaurant in West Houston called Catbirds. And he would be drinking with the boys, and including people like Ken Qualls, who was used to be Charles Keating's pilot and worked for CIA proprietary companies flying. People like John Riddle were at Catbirds. The reason they were at there because it was owned by Robert Corson. And it was named, the name Catbird was named for Walter Mischer, because Walter Mischer's favorite expression is sitting in the catbird seat.
You might remember there was also a meeting in Houston after the CIA and apparently John Hall, who has been indicted for murder by the Costa Rican government, failed to knock off Eden Pastora, who was became unacceptable to the CIA. There was a meeting in Houston in which they discussed what was going to happen and how next they would go after Mr. Pastora.